unfinished business from our November meeting. And as you all know, this was a result of some delays due to the federal shutdown. Before we begin today's meeting, I want to have a moment of silence for Ed McLeod, who passed last week. For those of you who don't know him, he was a member of our first council back in 1976, a former chair and vice chair member, worked hard in developing the management objectives for the preliminary management plan. So if you take a moment of silence, please. Thank you, John. You have a remark about Ed?
Yes, I was lucky enough to know Ed. He was he's a wonderful man. He worked for National Marine Fisheries Service, and he was our New England liaison for a while. He was headquartered in New Bedford. It's a small fishing port south of here. And later, he became the head of our fishery management plan branch, now sustainable fisheries. So just wanted to note that for the record. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, John. I just want everyone to note that there will be no reports on this meeting at this meeting. And for folks in the audience, there is a new council policy for public comment on items not on the agenda. For public members who wish to address the council this afternoon, there is a sign-up sheet outside in the hall, and please plan to limit your comments to 3 to 5 minutes. Other business for this week is Laura.
I was just hoping that we might be able to also recognize the passing of Artie Odlin.
Yeah, I'm remiss. Thank you for that. Let's take a moment and reflect on Artie, a good past council member and a friend of the fishery. We're losing too many good folks. Other business for this council's meeting? Bill, you have something you want to add? No? Okay. One agenda update is at other business may be shifted to tomorrow afternoon following the groundfish report if the council works as expeditiously as the groundfish committee did a week ago. Concerning tonight's party for Phil, we will adjourn by 5 o'clock in order to have everybody there by 5:45. If anyone has not gotten a ticket and would like to, Karen's got a few left over, and please see her. There's also a lunch buffet at the hotel today, $12.50 plus tax and tip. And we have a pretty full day, so when we do break for lunch, if that's not an option, we're going to need you back in an hour. So, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Tom for the continuation of our discussion on our 2014 priorities.
Good morning. I'm going to try and go through the same presentation I went through at the November council meeting at the end of the day. I will leave out one or two slides, and also we'll move a little quicker since you've heard most of it already once before. But we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about priorities at the November council meeting, so I thought it might be worthwhile to go through. In your binder under tab 1, there's a package for priorities discussion. You might want to dig it out and look at the very first item, which is a memo from me to the council that incorporates the executive committee recommendations on priorities. Those priorities are in a table that is an attachment to the very first item in that package. If you look at that attachment, you'll be able to see what a particular committee recommended for priorities, whether the executive committee is recommending that as a priority or not. And eventually, once the council makes decisions, we'll mark it up so you know what the council decision is on priorities. The purpose of the discussion today is to make final decisions on priorities for 2014. That should be relatively simple. The recommendations of the executive committee, as I noted, are in my memo. I'm going to go through the FMPs and give a broad overview of some of the recommendations of the committee. I'm not going to go through every specific recommendation. Those are all contained in the memo. And I will bring up a few points as we go through the whole thing. The format's a little bit differently than we had in the past. We've identified a list of priorities that we think that we can handle with the resources we have. We've taken into account, as to the extent we can, not only the council staff resources, but also the resources of the region and the Science Center. I'll highlight some of the key issues that came up during the executive committee discussion. As I mentioned before, my suggestion is if there are specific questions for an FMP that you may want to ask them as I go through the presentation, but I suggest we hold off over overall debate of the priorities until the presentation is complete. You'll notice that we have identified several multi-year tasks. EBFM is one. There's a number of monitoring issues that are also identified. This is something that the executive committee will work on more this year, and that is how do we deal with multi-year tasks. But the expectation is that if we identify a multi-year task, we're going to continue to pursue it until we finish it. We're not going to come back next November and say, oh, we've worked on this for 6 months, now we're going to quit. We've had a bunch of stops and starts on several issues, including EBFM over the years, and the feeling is, okay, if this is truly a priority, let's commit to this to a priority and recognize we're not going to get it done in a year, but we're going to keep working until we do get it done. Start out with groundfish. I think the important thing on groundfish to note is that we've identified enough priorities that we're going to have a hard time completing the priorities that we've identified. I think a key point to note is that one of the priorities being suggested is to consider alternative ways of setting catch advice. I want to make it clear that if the council adopts this as a priority, this is probably going to take more than a year to do. It is also going to stretch our resources, and it's going to limit the ability of the plan development team to respond to additional tasks. At the November meeting, there was an additional item that was added, which is not in the memo and which has not been recommended by the executive committee because we didn't discuss it, and that is to review catches and other fisheries and establish new sub-ACLs as necessary. This is coming out of the recommendations coming out of the groundfish AP and the groundfish committee. I want to make it clear that should this or any other issue be promoted as another priority for the groundfish committee, I think the council has to consider which one of the priorities recommended they're going to delete from the list, because I don't believe we can actually add any priorities more than we've got on the document. I'm not going to go over monkfish. At present, there's no real issues with the monkfish priorities. After we complete the current framework, we'll continue work on the amendment. The big issue with sea scallops will be to fold in any new scallop access areas into the annual specification process. The delay in completing the Habitat Omnibus Amendment means that this work probably will not start until the summer. There really is no way for the scallop PDT to make any real progress on the new access areas until they know what at least the council is recommending for the habitat access areas. There's a bullet on here that says we may not complete the sea scallop survey review at present. That should be changed to a we are not going to complete the sea scallop survey review this year. That has been dropped off by the NRCC and will be completed at a future time. We discussed Atlantic herring at the last meeting, and this is the one thing we did do. We did approve the Atlantic herring priorities. I will point out that exactly how river herring and shad will be coordinated with the Mid-Atlantic Council and the ASMFC is in a little bit of a state of flux. The Mid passed a new motion last week that proposes creating a river herring shad committee or conservation approach, which will include representatives presumably from the New England Council and the ASMFC. We have yet to hear the details of that report, but we think that would still fit into the general priority of coordinating with the MID on these issues. Whiting, we will complete the specifications or framework action, initiate a multi-year effort to adopt a limited entry program. I want to point out that we're juggling staff between the EBFM and the lighting plans, and so it should be recognized that there's going to be some coordination issues between what gets worked on when. I would also add that we intentionally tried to keep the lighting framework and specification process narrowly focused. There's been some interest in expanding the scope of the lighting framework to include modifying some of the periods of access to the whiting areas in the Gulf of Maine, I believe. I just want to make sure everybody knows that if you expand the scope of the whiting framework, it's going to have impacts on how rapidly we pursue EBFM. Because, bluntly, the staff who works on it is going to be working on both and is going to be juggling between those two. In terms of skates, there are two issues that are on the table. One is to address overfishing of winter and thorny skates, and the executive committee is recommending we not pursue limited entry in skates. This issue of overfishing of winter and thorny could prove to be a little bit problematic and may take some time to work out because much of the catch is discards in other fisheries, and so trying to reduce overfishing for skates may involve measures that will have impacts on other fisheries. The executive committee is recommending that we adopt EBFM as a multi-year priority. They are suggesting that, this is covered in more detail in the memos that report on the executive committee meeting, they're suggesting that one of the first steps in EBFM is we need to talk to the Mid-Atlantic Council and ASMFC to coordinate our activities to make sure that all of the management bodies are pursuing EBFM in a way that is going to be consistent with each other. It does not, to the executive committee, appear to make sense for the different management groups to have different approaches. And the Science Center has expressed serious reservations about being able to support different approaches on EBFM for different management bodies. There are a number of other tasks that would be adopted. We would continue work with our Risk Policy Working Group, which at one time we used to call the ABC Control Rule Working Group, but the current name more accurately reflects what it's doing. We're continuing to work on an industry-funded monitoring amendment. I believe the FMAT for that amendment has held one conference call since our November meeting. This is at present an amendment that's being led by NERO, but we are participating in it. Similarly, there's a vessel baseline amendment that NERO is taking the lead on that we are working on. We are participating in a climate change workshop that is being hosted by the Mid-Atlantic Council in the spring. The executive committee will review the priority setting process, and there will also be a number of fishery-dependent data and electronic monitoring programs that are going on over the course of the year. If you look at the table that we prepared, we've also highlighted some of the major tasks that the staff works on to try and give you a fuller picture of all the work that's being completed. So that completes my presentation. We can get into more details at the pleasure of the chair, or we can move on and take comment.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Two questions first. Terry?
Yeah, Tom, on the groundfish, we moved at the last groundfish committee meeting, we moved, without council approval, I guess, but we moved to consider the U.S.-Canada trades under Amendment 18. So does that make that slot open up a little bit so we could maybe move the sub-ACLs into that spot?
No. The executive committee actually recommended not actively working on U.S.-Canada trades this year because of concerns about whether there was serious interest on the part of the Canadians in affecting that program.
Dr. Pierce, and then Tom.
Yeah, Tom, you mentioned the sea scallops that may not complete the scallop survey review, and that I understand, but you added something, which was that the NRCC indicated that it should not be done this year, meaning 2014, I believe, and you said it would be done at some future time. So I'm just clarifying, what do you mean by not this year, 2014?
Yes, I think we talked about this a little bit in November, but I perhaps was a little brief or vague in my presentation. The center has agreed to look into an alternative way to set catch advice for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder, and the trade-off in pursuing that is that we cannot do the sea scallop survey review at the same time. And I do not believe, and Bill may correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm not sure, so it would not be done in 2014. At the NRCC meeting, we never really got into the schedule for 2015 because we wrangled all of 2014 most of the day. I do not know if a date has been set yet for the sea scallop survey in 2015.
Mr. Chairman, Tom, no, we haven't yet set a date. It's our intent when we bring a proposal forward for the NRCC consideration in the spring to look at schedules for 15 and beyond. So that would be the time when we came forward with an idea and then worked with the NRCC about how to fit that in relative to the other priorities for 15.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, a question for Dr. Kropp. It's related to my point, and that is the benchmark assessment for sea scallops, is that 2015? 2014. Therefore, I'm confused because I thought that when last we talked about this survey, you indicated that during the benchmark assessment, there would be work on the scallop survey. That is, there would be a review of the survey that would be incorporated into the discussions about sea scallop assessment. So have I misunderstood your previous remarks?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Pierce, no, I can't recall my exact comments, but they were along the lines that the benchmark assessment will of course, include some consideration of the fishery-independent data sources, but not in the same depth that a dedicated methods review would. So the way I think we'll end up looking at this sequentially is that the benchmark assessment review will help us tighten up the terms of reference for the survey methods review that will follow.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a couple questions. Following up on the U.S.-Canada trading, is there any information that we're more likely than we were at the time of your executive committee discussion to get a meaningful, positive trade with the Canadians in the upcoming year? My sense is that those talks have largely stalled.
Yeah, I can answer that question, Tom. I talked to Michael O'Connor, and all further discussion has been postponed until the winter intersessional.
Thanks. And with that, I think that makes sense for something to stop work on if we're looking at other urgent groundfish issues. The other, as I look at the document, in italics, we have the committee identifying trades between the scallop and groundfish fisheries. The executive committee discussed that, decided not to prioritize that because at this time there's no interest in moving that concept forward. Is that right?
That is correct.
And then my final question, it sounds like there was a discussion at the executive committee about how to identify objectives and the work plan for the EBFM committee. Is that something that we want to flesh out today during our discussion, or is that pretty well set? I think coordination with other management bodies is important, but I'd also probably add to that goals and objectives and then sort of finding the technical advisory, scientific, support for that initiative as well. I don't know if that's something that we'll come back to or if it was discussed before.
There was executive committee discussion along the lines that you just laid out, and I think we can have a more detailed discussion when we get to that component. Matt.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think Tom may have asked the question I was going to ask, but did the executive committee have any discussions about what consistency would look like between our efforts in EBFM and, say, the MIDS?
At a low-level discussion. I mean, certainly at this point, we're at the point where if we embrace this, we have to build it from the bottom up. And collaborating with the other entities was a significant part of the executive committee's discussion.
If I can just follow up, I think that's a good idea. But I also I like that we're going to be able to build it from the bottom up. I just want to make sure that we have a full range of when we go forward with this, that we're not limiting ourselves to what the MIDS doing. That's all.
and the commission as well. Are there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to the next part of the discussion, and I want to open up to the audience. If are there any comments on the council's priorities for this year? Dick?
My name is Dick Allen, and I'm speaking on behalf of John Williams and the Atlantic Red Crab Company. I think you all know that John submitted a request back in September that the council put red crabs on the priority for the purpose of considering whether there should be a specification set for some limited harvest of female crabs. And he explained the rationale in that. The council did open up that door, that possibility, with the last amendment, so that instead of requiring a plan amendment, could be done through a framework or the specification process, because there was a lot of discussion and recognition that that might be something that would be good to consider. And so that time has come. The red crab industry, I think, we'd all consider very successfully managed. It was the first MSC-certified fishery on the Atlantic coast, and it moved the processing from Canada down to New Bedford, a new plant in New Bedford. It's been very conservatively managed. But there is a huge biomass of female crabs, and there is a market now, which there wasn't when the industry first requested that there be a prohibition on taking female crabs back in 2000. And this is an industry that has initiated and supported both the management and the science of the fishery since 1999, when they asked for the first management plan. And in recent years, it's been the industry that has totally funded all of the ongoing science on red crab. There'd be no ongoing science activities on red crab if it wasn't for the industry supporting a couple of graduate students, doing surveys, really adding to our knowledge on the fishery and the species. And so given that, I mean, they do that with the intent that what we learn will produce some benefit both to the industry and to the public in terms of the increased value of the fishery. And all the industry needs really is that little bit of support that the council has to move these things forward. The industry can't do that. And so they're just asking that the council give some consideration that as they produce the science and come up with improvements in management, that the council be willing to consider those and take the necessary action. So I think everybody recognizes the problems that you face and the critical issues that fisheries have. But I think it would be a mistake to ignore a fishery because it's relatively successful. There's a real opportunity to improve the fishery and its economic contribution to the region, and it just needs that little bit of support. It's taken very little council time and effort over the years to maintain this successful fishery, and we would hope that you would at least entertain having it on the list of priorities for 2014. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Looks like we're all set. Thanks, Dick. Dave?
And good morning, everybody. David Gafel, fishing vessel, Ellen Diane. I see you have kind of under other an assortment of monitoring things, more or less listed but not really lumped together. And I think it has become time to have what I would call an omnibus observer amendment and examine all the issues surrounding the observer program as well as the SBRM. I think the two of them are interrelated and interlinked, and I don't think you can do one without doing the other. Just received a letter from Dr. Karp here in response to several letters from people in the industry who were basically becoming extremely fed up with the Observer program, and I believe rightfully so. And I think the issues that need to be addressed in an omnibus Observer amendment are, first of all, cost. I think this program is hideously expensive for the results that you are getting, and whether it's paid for by taxpayers or fishermen, this cost should be debated in public session. For example, it is not my job to produce a profit for a private company as a fisherman. Second, the accuracy of the product. I don't think you're getting the level of accuracy you think you are. I don't believe you can accurately weigh fish at sea. I am, as an individual, personally very fed up with paying for fish that are weighed in an inaccurate way, and that's what I'm doing. I'm being charged for fish with a non-certified scale that's probably in violation of any state weights and measures law that exists. And finally, the issue of accuracy in general, I think, should be addressed. Accuracy as a tool instead of precision as a tool. Accuracy as a tool means you sample the boats that catch the fish far more than you sample the vast majority of people who catch virtually nothing. You get a better product. So for that reason, for all those reasons, I think you need an omnibus Observer amendment. I think you should take this FMAT process and expand it to become a council project. The FMAT process is not transparent enough. It too much of it occurs on webinars and on short notice. The last webinar or conference call you had or whatever, I think there was very short notice given. I was out at sea fishing. I would have liked to have participated, but I couldn't. When you have it through the council, there's a 23-day notice requirement. People get a chance to participate. This is vitally important to all the industry, not just groundfish. This is to herring, to scallops, to everybody. If this program is here to stay, we better make it right and make it work. Thank you.
Ted.
Ted Plass from Newport, Rhode Island. You all have a letter from me and a lot of signatures. Pretty much everybody we contacted in the southern management area responded positively to the idea of putting skate above the line. The only two holes we have in those signatures is New York and Connecticut, and that's because I do not have a communication tree set up for those guys. I have no doubt that they agree with the rest of us from New Jersey, Virginia, North Carolina, Rhode Island. So skate population has been swinging pretty wildly. You know, it's massive influx in 08. We see it steadily declining now. Nobody disagrees with the science. And I'm not going to reiterate everything that's in the letter, but we see potential for real problems. And as managers of not only the resource but your budget, you know, I would suggest that there is probably very little on your plate that offers you as much bang for your management buck as skate does. You know, we have a relatively sustainable amount of effort in that fishery, and we can, by establishing a control data and looking at a limited access fishery and how to better manage these stocks, as the SSC has recommended twice now, we can improve the management of that and protect this stock from getting overfished. I mean, no fisherman is sitting here and saying these numbers aren't going down. Last year we caught 60% of our tack, and this year we're on target to catch about 50% of the tack, and the biomass is declining. I don't think that makes it a back burner issue. So I think skate needs to be a higher priority. It's critical to a number of fisheries. And in the spirit of providing solutions, what I would recommend is you consider taking quota management out of monkfish to free up resources to deal with skate. I think we spent quite a bit of time wrapped around the axle on the issue of quota management in monkfish. The southern fishery management area has really not embraced that at all, particularly the mid. And for those of us in southern New England who are inclined to look at and consider and embrace quota management, we're not going to do so with winter skate in a separate FMP and managed under days at sea. We would essentially be building our own stumbling block. So if you're interested in seeing monkfish go to quota, you need to catch up skate. And probably the best way to do that is reduce some of your commitment to the Monkfish Amendment and pour it into skate and get skate caught up. The only reason skate is managed as a complex is because when we set the landing limit, we needed a clock. And that's why it's tied to groundfish days. You know, we need to take a better, more considered approach to the management of this resource. And there's plenty of issues in the Monkfish Amendment we all agree on. We all like leasing. There's a lot of other stuff on the table that we can move forward on pretty expeditiously. You get quota out of there, and you're going to free up a lot of resources, and you have time to manage skate. So I would encourage you to please consider that.
Other comments from the audience? Sir, in the back.
Rory O'Donnell, Fishing Vessel Louise, Newport, Rhode Island. I agree with what Ted said. We need to push skate forward as a priority. We've seen an increase in effort by groundfish vessels this year, especially. For us in southern New England, to see more and more groundfish boats come down and target skate along with other species that they haven't done in the past is very concerning for us. Right now, monkfish, skate, they go hand in hand. And we feel that, like Ted said, if we take quota off the table, we move forward with skate, get away from groundfish, it only makes sense. Thank you.
Anybody else? Sally.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Sally McGee with the Nature Conservancy. There are four items I just wanted to mention for the Council's consideration in terms of priority. First is electronic monitoring. That's something that really needs to go forward for a number of reasons that have been discussed already this morning in terms of the need to reduce the cost of observing and documenting fisheries. The Nature Conservancy has a number of projects on the water to support this, and we'll continue to in hopes the Council will move on electronic monitoring. Second is completion of Amendment 18. I won't go into details. That's just something that the Conservancy has supported for a long time. Completion of the Habitat Amendment. And then lastly, ecosystem-based fishery management. The Conservancy would urge the Council to convene that committee and, as suggested, collaborate with the Mid-Atlantic and ASMFC. And as you do, consider what kind of approach you want to take, whether it's going to be something that's more like an umbrella approach, like what has been done in Alaska, or if you want to take ecosystem-based approaches within fisheries and incorporating ecosystem reference points, which is something I know the Council has discussed over the last year or so. And as with the electronic monitoring, the Nature Conservancy has projects where we're working on advancing ecosystem modeling, in particular with Mike Fogarty, who I know is here, his group at the Science Center, to figure out ways to provide better tools for both the New England and Mid-Atlantic Councils for moving this forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Okay. Seeing none, going back to the Council. Before we go into any motions, there are at least two Council members who have issues to add to our other bin. So, Ellen?
Karen, do you have that? Can you put it up, please?
Ellen, I think rather than make a motion at this point, if you just could give the Council an overview of what you're proposing, so when we get into that that section, we can either move it or amend another motion.
Okay. Basically, I'm looking to add a priority to take the SBRM or take the industry funded monitoring and put it into an omnibus for the observer program so that it will have a more open and transparent process, and we can work out some of the bugs that have shown up on every single one of the issues that we've discussed since I came on to the council. Thank you.
Okay. Mary Beth?
Well, I will second the motion for discussion. I'm not sure if this is the right outcome. My concern would be that the timeline that the agency is on obviously would go by the wayside should we do this. I understand some of the concerns as far as the process goes, and I do think that it might be possible to leave the agency as the lead on this and still address those concerns. I guess I would be interested in hearing from the agency on that. I do understand that this last, you know, conference call meeting that the FMET had, that there wasn't a lot of opportunity for public notice. I think that's very fixable as the process moves forward. Not my general concern would be in how the industry participates in the process, and I think there is a real need. I mean, when we approached this under Herring, our recommendation as a council was that there be a working group that included fishermen and providers and the agency and council staff to look at this problem, and our current process with the FMET does not exactly do that. So perhaps we could just hear from the agency any thoughts that they might have, because again, should we take this on, it's a fairly big project, and the timeline would change considerably.
Yeah, you want to speak to it, George? And then we're going to move on. I asked Ellen not to make this in the form of a motion yet until we have one out to accept the, you know, to move the executive committee's list along, and then that could be amended as the council sees fit. But George, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I won't speak to the bigger, longer-term issue of whether there needs to be some more comprehensive look at the observer programs in general. But technically, a couple things I wanted to say. One is the SBRM amendment. That's a response to litigation that we lost, and that's well down the road. So we're looking at the councils, that's an omnibus, both councils, Mid and New England, that we're looking at taking final action or bringing before you to take final action in probably January, February next year. So we can't delay that. We're already behind where we should be. So I greatly discourage you from doing anything that would interfere with completion of that. Once that's done and satisfies the court, you know, whether the councils want to do something more with that, that's another issue. And the second one is the timing of the omnibus industry-funded observer amendment, which we recently initiated along with both councils. Again, this is an omnibus. It's creating an administrative tool that the councils can use if they want to use industry funding for their observer programs. And that's on a relatively fast track, too, because of the disapprovals of both the Herring Amendment 5 and the Mackerel Amendment 14, and disappointment among the councils and many in the public that some of those measures were disapproved, and this would be a way to try to remedy those disapprovals in a way that would be legal. So again, I would discourage the councils unless they want to take a totally different approach from messing on with that particular omnibus amendment that we've agreed to take the administrative lead on. Beyond that, you know, of course, that's up to you what you want to do, but timing-wise, I think both of those actions have issues.
Mark?
I had a question on skates. I don't know where, and priorities, where you would entertain that.
Once we get a motion, we can go through. You know, I think, Jeff, you've got an issue you want to add to the hopper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the council. Before I discuss the issue that I brought up in the Mid-Atlantic Council, I'd like to comment on this Observer omnibus and agree with some of previous speakers about the fact that the conference call, the webinar on that meeting, was announced 10 minutes before it occurred. And, you know, haste is one thing, but transparency is something else. So we're pretty concerned about the way that was addressed in the Mid-Atlantic. You guys heard that last week, I think, from me and some other people. So if it's fast track, that's fine, but 10 minutes notice just doesn't seem to be adequate. The other issue that I wanted to bring up concerns Framework 48, the groundfish framework, which has already been approved, and the fact that the fluke fishery people in northern Jersey and Long Island are concerned about the impacts of Framework 48 on the fluke fishery. And we would like to ask the council to give us some additional time to consider the impacts. I have a motion, but I'm not going to offer it as you recommended right now, Mr. Chairman. There are probably a few reasons why we're kind of late to the party on this one, but it is, in fact, true. And so if at the proper time, I do have a motion to ask the council to develop a framework so that we could spend more time understanding the implications of fluke fishery. The other thing that's new is last week at our meeting, we prioritized the development of a new summer flounder amendment to address both commercial fisheries issues and recreational fisheries issues. We spent last week allocating recreational fluke, but there's some outstanding concerns in both sectors, so there is going to be a fluke amendment moving to re-examine the goals and objectives of the current plan. So maybe that process could help us with our request to on a framework to reconsider what's occurred in Framework 48. Thank you.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just a couple of questions. One was on the issue of red crabs and females in that fishery. And I was just curious, what is the status of specifications? Have we set multi-year specs so we have no actions currently pending for red crab?
I'll let Chris answer this. We just submitted a specs package to the agency for review, but I don't remember how many years it's for.
We just submitted the specifications package for review, as Tom said, and it's for the 2014 through 16. The issue of red crab, the harvest of female red crabs, came up in 2010, and the council asked the SSC to look into it. At that time, they didn't feel they had enough information to recommend an ABC that would include the harvest of female red crabs. Since that time, there may have been more work done on that issue, and that's the last time the council considered it.
Okay, are there any other issues to add?
I had one additional question, and that is when I'm looking through the groundfish recommendations, it seemed to me there was a discussion about analyzing incidental catch and or bycatch of groundfish in other fisheries, sort of our 5% category, and I thought that the council had recommended that we move forward with that recently, but I didn't see it on the list, and I was wondering what the status of that was.
Yes, it's not on the – I didn't revise the memo from November. At the November council meeting, the council did pass a motion, which I mentioned in my presentation, that they wanted – that the Groundfish Committee brought forward a motion to suggest that we should look at the sub-ACLs and consider revising them. And as I mentioned in the presentation, if the council decides they want to pursue that, they have to take something off the groundfish priority list.
Okay, let's tee this off. John?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that the council adopt the 2014 priorities as recommended by the executive committee.
Is there a second? Seconded by John Bullard. Before we begin our discussion, I do want to underscore to the council and the audience that the executive committee spent the better part of a day wrestling over these. There's several multi-year tasks, as were laid out in Tom's memo, including the EBFM and the EM and fissure-dependent and EFOP monitoring. And at this point, the Christmas tree is toppling over. So if we add any of the issues that have just been raised, some issues are going to have to come off the table. So let's start the discussion. Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the hard work of the executive committee. I know it is tough to get everything you want done, and I think this framework that's been forwarded is a really good start. Based on the comments and some of the discussions we've had over the last few meetings, I do think we need to revise these priorities somewhat in both in sort of the monks and skates and then with regards to the groundfish sub-ACL issue. So with that, I'd move to amend this motion with the following changes. Move Monkfish Amendment 6 to below the line and instead prioritize Skate Limited Access Amendment. And 2, prioritize the development of a regulatory action to review groundfish catch in non-groundfish directed fisheries and establish sub-ACLs and AMs as appropriate. To achieve that number 2, my intention is to move below the line for groundfish the development of alternative strategies for ACLs, ACE trading between scallops and groundfish, and U.S.-Canada quota trading.
Seconded by Terry. Before we begin our discussion, Tom, staff-wise on skates and monks?
Can you give me a couple minutes to think about this one a little bit? The person who works on skates for us normally does not work on monkfish, and so I got to rethink a little bit about how we would balance these things.
Sorry for catching you off guard, but I got to do it every once in a while. Tom, then David, then...
Thanks. I just wanted to outline, recognizing that there would be some staff juggling required, I just wanted to outline my thinking in terms of the monkfish amendment. Almost all of us have been part of that action in some form, and we really have just been beating our heads against the wall trying to move that forward. It's an important action, but it's really going nowhere, and it's very clear that our partners in the Mid-Atlantic don't want to consider most, if not all, of the management measures that are under consideration. And given that that plan is jointly managed, it's really been impossible to move that forward. That work won't go to waste. It will just go on the shelf until some future time when we can move it forward. But in the meantime, as I think Ted said, most of our management buck is going to be, you know, best spent and best realized moving skates forward, and that is providing limited access for a skate fishery. We have a skate action that's going to be moving forward. That committee is populated and is going to meet, and I think it's time that we address our issues in the skate fishery while while there still is a robust resource that we can improve the management of. So that's why I've linked those two together.
Okay. David had his hand up. Now I'm going to go out to the audience then bring it back to the council.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate it if Tom could elaborate a bit regarding his number 2, groundfish catch and non-groundfish-directed fisheries. So I think we would all benefit by our understanding what specific fisheries is he focused on and to what extent has he considered the need that there will be for us to work very closely with the Mid-Atlantic Council to accomplish this particular task in a way that would be sensitive to the concerns of the Mid-Atlantic as well as the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission? So I viewed number 2 as a big, big job. I understand why he's offered this up as a priority, but still, I think it's an overwhelming, time-consuming job. So those are my questions, if I may, Mr. Chairman, ask of Tom.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think those are good questions. We had a pretty thorough discussion about this. This language is meant to mirror, if not exactly replace, the language that we passed in our motion at our last meeting for groundfish priorities, and that is to review all the bycatch or catch of groundfish and non-directed fisheries and see where, if and where there are issues. Some of the information that we've looked at recently suggests that there are significant amounts of groundfish bycatch and other fisheries that has to be managed. And absent sub-ACLs and AMs for those other fisheries, almost all that comes directly out of the groundfish. Directed fishery is responsible for everybody's catch, not just their own. And I think that's leading us into problems, particularly with some of our depleted flatfish stocks. In terms of the interaction with the mid and the size of the job, I think the size of the job actually gets smaller if you do it in one vehicle and one regulatory action. I think this approach here also streamlines and improves the opportunities for folks in the mid-Atlantic and in other fisheries to engage with this process. As we've done it, we've basically done this in an ad hoc, case-by-case way as a flatfish becomes so depleted or catch rates in another fishery become so problematic that we have to address it in a sort of shoot from the hip way. I think making it a priority, making it a single action will put everybody in the same room and at the same table and will help us get this done. And I think actually will be more efficient than the way we've done this so far.
Questions about the motion to amend? PK, you have a question?
Yes, Tom, just quick on that number. So inserting number two to prioritize that, you were taking off, what were you putting below the line, the U.S.-Canada trading, ACE trading, and developing new strategies? Just making sure I was correct.
Yeah, that's what I put below the line, and if I could, you know, shuffle those around, I actually just don't see in the short term any potential for trading with Canada, and I think that was reinforced by Terry's earlier statements. I don't see any short-term potential for trading between the scallops and groundfish fisheries. I do see potential for developing alternative strategies for ACLs, but that I think is second to this. I think first we need to identify who's catching what and establish sub-ACLs and AMs and then start developing those longer-term strategies or different strategies for setting the overall ACL. So that was what I anticipated being below the line.
Doug.
I'm just a little wanted to question that only because I didn't think USA Canada trading was above the line in the motion that was made. And so I would then ask that if we're not really putting anything below the line that was above the line, I'd ask the executive director to provide comment on whether number two could still be done with the groundfish staff along with the other priorities that are in the original, the underlying motion.
Tom?
Well, we got a lot of moving pieces here. So I expect that it's going to take a little juggling of staff, but if the council wants to stop working on the monkfish amendment and work on a skate amendment, we can probably figure out a way to do that. With respect to trying to juggle out the groundfish issues here, I think Doug has a good point. If you move something below the line that the executive committee wasn't recommending anyway, which is the ACE trading between the scallop and groundfish fisheries, you haven't saved us any time. With respect to the U.S.-Canada trades, the executive committee put a big question mark on the table. The groundfish committee is talking about trying to move pieces of the U.S.-Canada trades into Amendment 18. So, you know, that might save us a little time. The third one is this idea of an ACL, alternative ACL setting process, which, quite honestly, we think is a pretty big project and will take a lot of time from the groundfish staff. I would just point out that one of the reasons that this has been promoted is we've had considerable trouble in the groundfish plan with setting catch quotas that will get the biological results we want. And, you know, we've been doing it primarily by using, you know, the best assessment and by using Age Pro off of a best assessment for most of our stocks. And we rarely, if ever, catch our quotas, and we rarely, if ever, meet our fishing mortality targets at the same time. So that's why that one was being promoted. Taking that off the list would save considerable amount of time on the groundfish staff side.
Jeff, question?
No, just a statement about the motion. Or you want to wait till we go to the audience?
Yeah, I want to go to the audience
first.
All
right, thank you.
Any more questions to Tom? Okay, audience. Jackie, then Ted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. Although we can support part of this motion, we've definitely had many discussions over the last couple of weeks in regards to ACLs and AMs, specifically for non-allocated stocks. So I realize that the Groundfish Committee has had discussions about that, and that definitely should be added onto the priority list for groundfish. But we cannot support having the alternative strategies for setting catch advice be put below the line. We realize that that's going to be a multi-year approach and is going to take time, but I cannot think of anything that's more important for the groundfish fishery. I mean, there's many things that could be important for the groundfish fishery right now, but that is definitely should be made a priority, and we should start that sooner rather than later. I'd also like to note that the groundfish advisors also supported that during our meeting in September. The groundfish advisors had a very lengthy vetting discussion in September over our concerns of the state of the fishery, the economic state of this fishery, and how, you know, we were constantly given different advice and different status from the stocks, and we definitely need stability for the ACLs. So I really strongly encourage either this motion to be modified or that to be brought back above the line. Thank you.
Ted?
Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island, Monkfish and Scape, AP member. I can't support taking Monkfish Amendment 6 completely off the table. You know, we just did a stripped-down framework so that we could deal with other issues in Amendment 6. We put that in the back burner. The guys had a lot of issues they wanted to take care of that there was wide consensus on that we moved into the amendment. We were wrapped around the axle on one issue and one issue only, and that was quota. You actually have a leasing plan on the table being considered by the regional office that comes from the Mid-Atlantic. You have a lot of issues, every issue, frankly, in that Monkfish Amendment that has broad support, and you can push an amendment through quite quickly. There's only one issue that caused a problem there, and that was quota. And Tom's right in saying that the Mid didn't want it at all, and those of us in southern New England, you know, we know how quota and days at sea work, and we're smarter than that. We don't want to see it. That doesn't mean we're opposed to quota, but we know that quota and days at sea don't go together. You know, you can put monkfish above the line and not expend a lot of time and energy on that as long as you have quota stripped out of it. You know, there are a lot of issues that a lot of monkfish are going to be very frustrated about if we take it completely off the table. And we waited. We were patient. We said, okay, we'll do this stripped-down framework, and we'll wait for the leasing issues and all this. You have in no other fishery, except perhaps scallops, do you have so many multi-boat owners. You know, guys have 3 and 4 boats sitting at the dock. They're paying for insurance on, they're paying for dockage on, and they want leasing. And nobody's opposed to that. You're going to tell them to keep waiting, keep burning all that money on having all that overhead? You have a successful fishery. You know, we deserve a chance, having rebuilt our stock, to become a little more profitable and a little more efficient. And taking it right off the table, you know, that's just not right. We did a stripped-down framework so that we could get a few things done and deal with all the issues that really matter to us in the amendment. You can take quota out of the amendment. The regional office already said they don't have time for it. So get it out of there and let us do a quick stripped-down amendment and you know, give us our just desserts. We rebuilt our stock. You know, I got 3 boats. It's ridiculous. You know, and frankly, if you look at the monkfish economic profile, something like 50% of the people in the fishery have multiple boats. You going to make us wait on leasing? We all agree on leasing. We've got two formulas, one from me and one from Tim Froelich in New York. And he likes mine and I like his. There's no problem with it, except that we've been wrapped around the axle on quota. So please just take that out and not everything. There's a whole host of issues I won't go through here that we're waiting on. We want to be able to go for dogfish on monkfish days at sea only. That got blocked by the previous chair. It's a groundfish exempted area. There's no reason it shouldn't have gone to the PDT. You know, we sent it back to the AP so they could reiterate that, yes, they do want to be able to fish for dogfish on a monkfish-only day at sea. The only issue is Chatham guys and sectors will probably get higher observer coverage. I didn't hear another single dissenting voice on that issue. So I would urge you not to drop monkfish completely and suggest that you just drop the quote out of it. Thank you.
Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. Things were already said that I would want to say here, but I want to reinforce and definitely acknowledge what Tom had said. We know it's going to be a big lift, and there's been a problem in achieving the biological objectives as a result of the ACLs that have been set, and it's been problematic. And I just want to add that what's actually happening in addition to that is we've had trouble setting ACLs that allow an industry in the groundfish fishery in New England to survive. I mean, that volatility has crushed the industry. And we had sent a letter a while back talking about the disaster that has yet to be mitigated and the consequences of that. It's happening as we speak. We continue to lose people from the fishery. So unless we have a priority, we are not setting ACLs that are conducive to allowing an industry to survive, period. So I can't think of something more important than having an alternative way to set that, a way that we can set ACLs that are mindful of the stocks, mindful of the changes in the environment that might be going on, and mindful of an industry to survive. So I just want to reinforce that priority and hope that that can stay above the line. Setting AMs and sub-ACLs, I think, is a very critical issue that's going to keep popping up on us as these ACLs are so low. So we do agree with that, staying above the line. Thank you.
Maggie.
Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. Mr. Chairman, members of the council, we would reluctantly support stopping work on the monkfish amendment. The council identified catch shares for monkfish as a priority a couple years ago, 2 years or maybe even 3 years in a row that was identified as a priority. And unfortunately, because of reluctance from our partners in the mid, we've not been able to get anywhere with that. The council did not identify monkfish days at sea leasing as a priority. They identified catch shares as a priority for the monkfish amendment. So again, that's where we wanted to see the monkfish amendment go. If it's not going there, then let's take it off the list. Have some mixed feelings about a limited entry amendment for skates because of the time that would take. We could probably support an action to look at managing the species separately, the different skate species separately rather than as a complex, but have concerns about spending time on a limited entry amendment. And it's unfortunate to be in a position to have to split a decision between addressing the groundfish catch in non-groundfish fisheries and this idea of alternative methods for establishing ACLs. We really wish we could do both of those things. That's our position on this particular motion, and would hope that again you could find a way to address the groundfish catch and non-groundfish fisheries. You may recall at your last meeting you received a the 2012 statistics about that, and the catch was significant for groundfish and those other fisheries, and we'd like to see that addressed. But as Vito pointed out, we need to get some stability in these ACLs. We can, if there is a way, and I don't know what that way is, but if there is a way to set ACLs, to use a different method for setting ACLs and groundfish that would provide more stability to the fleet, then we urge you to work on that. Thank you.
Bonnie?
Hi, Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. I would just request regarding what you have for number two there on the screen, regarding the priority of regulatory action number two, the Mid-Atlantic would truly appreciate if this was going to be done, whether it's this year or next year or whenever year, to include the Mid as a joint partner, because there's so many fisheries that are specifically Mid-Atlantic fisheries that are going to be affected by this, and to do it just on one side. I mean, what Mr. Kalin had mentioned about, you know, being late to the party on 48 with window pane is definitely true, but I think going forward, anything that needs to be done should be a joint action. That way you'll have a lot better cooperation throughout. Also, I think with the exception of window pane, that a lot of these things will not come into effect into 2015. Perhaps that might give a year leeway to be able to get something done. Thank you.
David.
David Gaethel, Fish and Vessel, Ellen Diane. Very briefly, I'd recommend somebody split the question. I could support the first half of this, but not the second. I don't think the second half is going anywhere. And the reason is that you don't have the data in a lot of fisheries to actually do the analysis that's requested. Just a brief example. Let's say, for example, you want to review the lobster fishery in the Gulf of Maine. You don't have sufficient observer data to tell how many cod and how many wolffish it catches. But suppose from that limited data you did determine that you had to set a sub-ACL for wolffish and cod in the lobster fishery in the Gulf of Maine. I mean, you talk about touching the third rail of fisheries politics in New England. Imagine if you start putting observers on every lobster boat in Maine. I don't think you're anywhere near ready to go there yet. So if something's undoable, I suggest you don't try to do it. Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Start on the end with Jeff, then Mike, then Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the idea of splitting the question seems like a good one based on what we just heard from the audience. I just wanted to say that in support of Mr. Platz's letter, I received an email this morning from 14 vessels from Barnegat Light, New Jersey, supporting the scape priority that was identified in the first part of the motion. And concerning the second part, I'm hearing what the groundfish fishery is saying. I don't have a comment on that, but, and I understand I can't make a motion. I was thinking about amending the amendment. I think you get to go twice, so I'm going to hold that back, but I'm looking forward to the ability to discuss in some context the issue I raised earlier on the fluke fishery. Thanks.
Mike?
Yes, at this stage, I'd like to be pretty general my comments. I do agree, though, on the issue of splitting the question. If that's Robert's rules of order allowable at this point, that makes sense to me. As a general point, I just comment that I do appreciate the executive committee's effort on this, and I know it's a yeoman's task. There is no totally right or wrong answer on setting priorities, and anybody who's charged with the responsibility to set priorities is always going to make both friends and enemies. There's no way of avoiding that. Given that, I would always, in going into such a decision, be inclined to be supportive of the people who have the responsibility squarely on their shoulders to put some priorities before us, and also have spent a lot of time doing so to be supportive. Having said that, as a general matter, though, I very much think as a council we need to place priority on things that are proactive rather than always being reactive. So I would go into the decision process giving a lot of sympathy to those things that are on the list that are proactive. And there are a number of them. Things like red crab that was mentioned, which isn't on the list now, but I see what's being requested as being proactive. Limited entry programs, issues on skates, again being proactive. Ecosystem issues, proactive. Alternative ways of addressing ACLs, I also see as being, it may be both reactive, but the solution that might come out of it is certainly going to be proactive. I also note that some of the discussion seems to me to be science or data collection issues, which is things like scallop review, various issues about observers, that are extremely important. And I can understand that there could be a lot of frustration with the current situation on those, and I share some of the frustration on some of those issues. But I largely see these as being processes that are the responsibility of the agency and to be led by the agency, and would look towards the council devoting, only needing to devote rather minimal resources to a number of these, and expecting that what problems exist and what concerns are the responsibility of the agency to sort out and address. So those are my general comments. Again, I do support the executive committee, but I do see some opportunity for or some need in the long term to be focusing more of our priorities on proactive issues rather than always being reactive. Thank you.
Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I agree with practically everything that Tom said when he was in support of this motion, but I find the motion in reality to be too convoluted at this point. And also, what Mike said, I had written down proactive in big letters here because that's exactly what I was thinking. But I would like to, at this point, make a motion to split the motion on the table.
Seconded by Doug Grout. Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's evident from comments that have been made both at the table here and from the audience that these issues are too unrelated to be considered in one motion. And I had intended to make a different motion, which I will make afterwards. But as a first step, we really do need to split these two issues.
Terry.
So to address some of the concerns that people have with us, because I thought it should have been split too, but are electronic monitoring and full retention married together in the executive committee's thing, or could we use move the full retention below the line and leave the alternative catch advice above the line? Are they married together, electronic monitoring and full retention?
Well, the EM and full retention was a motion that came out of the groundfish committee, which had married those two together to be considered in a groundfish action. If you look at the table, there's a whole lot of EM issues floating around that are being addressed in various ways, but this was one that the groundfish committee recommended stay within the groundfish realm to try and move forward on.
Terry.
So that's a longer-term project, the electronic monitoring part of it.
I actually think that the groundfish committee was hoping that this would be moved forward in some sort of action this year, but I wasn't at the committee meeting, so maybe somebody would want to address that.
It was coupled together with a full retention discussion. Tom?
Just on that, I think they are somewhat separable, and the full retention aspect we considered in the last few frameworks and have removed from the last few frameworks is now parked. And so I think if we were to identify that as a management priority, it would need an action and a considerable amount of staff time. So I think we can and are moving forward on the electronic monitoring working group, and I'd fully support continuing with that priority. But the management action associated with changing to a maximized or full retention, I think you could separate and save some time. So with that, hopefully that addresses some of Terry's question. I can talk a little bit more about where we are with the EM working group, but I do think, that is not, I don't anticipate going to persist beyond this year.
Okay, before we have any more discussion here, we still have a motion split. Does anyone want to speak on the motion split before we call it that question? Seeing none, those support the motion to split, please indicate so. Motion carries 17-0-0. Okay, so we're back to a split motion, and the first component is on the board. Mary Beth.
So the first component is this discussion over monkfish versus skates. And on the skate issue, I'm wondering if the timing is right for this. I certainly understand what people are talking about, but we recently made a recommendation to the agency to change reporting for skates so it could be by species, sort of looking out to the future of that we might manage them separately, and currently we're managing them as a complex. We know we have some overfishing issues there to deal with that are difficult to do that way. And from my understanding, skates as a fishery is not quota limited at this point, that there is available quota that we're not hitting or even coming close to harvesting the available ACL for the fishery. And I do think being proactive on limited access has a great value, but I'm just wondering if it needs to be this high on the list for this pending year. And then on monkfish, as people have said, it's been going on a long time. We don't have full industry support for continuing to keep this above the line for this year. And my question would be is to not do away with either one of these, but maybe it's not a priority for 2014. If we put both parts of motion number one below the line, can we do the things in groundfish that everybody, you know, has angst about and wants to do? So I guess that's a question for Tom.
So I think it's worth noting that I think the skate fishery caught 70% of their quota in the wing fishery, according to Fiona, this year, and they're looking at a reduction next year. So they may not be quota limited yet, but they could be in the near future. And then your next question was?
Well, I think that's helpful because that's information we didn't have, but I was just wondering if we were to put these two actions off until 2015, both skates and monks, could we do both items under groundfish that are being debated, looking at the strategies for ACLs and the review of bycatch and other fisheries? I mean, would we have staff resources available to accomplish that?
I'm going to cautiously say yes.
Well, since he said yes, I'll just take that yes part.
Okay.
I think people should consider that. I think that the first two actions in this split motion have value. I'm not saying that they don't, but I do wonder if they could wait till 2015.
David Pearson.
Mary Beth made one of my points regarding skates. We don't have a species-by-species breakdown that would be accurate enough for us to say that someone could be involved in the fishery for winter skate as opposed to small skate, as opposed to little skate or whatever. So there still is that species identification problem that we really haven't resolved yet. In addition, I still favor the executive committee's approach regarding monkfish above skates. Monkfish is a directed fishery. A lot of work has been done on that fishery relative to limited access. Ted Platt spoke to the issue. I thought he spoke very well to the issue regarding the need for us to finish that job. Skates, I view skates as more of a fishery where just about everybody catches them. Yeah, there is a directed component to it, of course, but go out and fish for groundfish and you're going to catch skate. So it'll get real complex regarding a limited access program for skates in the context of species identification and the fact that it need not be, and for the most part, is not really a directed fishery. So I do not favor prioritizing the skate limited access amendment.
Chair Powell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Trying to move something above the line and something else below the line in one motion is very difficult. And I want to make a change here, so I'm going to make a motion to amend and to change the first part, to change the words to move Monkfish Amendment 6. Oh, boy. Now I'm confused. Okay. To change the words to move Monkfish Amendment 6 to below the line to say to move Monkfish catch shares to below the line. The issue has been, well, let me see if I get a second to address it.
Seconded by Matt.
Okay, the issue here, I've been on the Monkfish Committee for quite a while. The issue here is that it's practically a civil war to try to bring catch shares into this fishery between the Mid-Atlantic people and the New England people. The fact that I support catch shares is not the issue here. The issue is the practicality of trying to get it done in this fishery at this time, and it's just not going to happen. So I'd like to make that change. And yeah, okay, that's good. Just the way it is.
Mike.
Yes, I would very much like to support the amendment to amend, I guess it is. And I was having very much the same feeling. I certainly heard what Ted said, and I'm well aware of all the work that's gone into Amendment 6 so far. I would hate to see that not go forward. And so I am hearing the message that the real impediment is the quota part of it. So I would support that amendment to amend.
Terry.
Yeah, well, I'm on the Monkfish Committee, and it's not just quota. It's I don't think it is. Everything that's been put forward by New England gets stomped on. So, I mean, even days of sea leasing isn't flushed out yet. So, I mean, I think it's more than that. So I'm not so sure it's only quota there.
Tom.
I was going to basically make exactly the same point. We've been spun up on this. We tried to take ITQs out several times, and that was opposed because they wanted the entire thing to stop. I mean, explicitly, that was what was said at the microphone at those meetings. No, we don't want you to take this out because then the thing would move forward faster. And there are a number of Mid-Atlantic Council members at those meetings that said, we want status quo for all options across the board. And they opposed some changes to even the northern area specifically that, you know, on their face would have nothing, no negative impacts on the southern management area at all. They oppose that because they don't want to change the Monkfish plan. At their core, the only issue that we could really discuss in any proactive way was a relatively small Category H permit issue that effectively got dealt with in the framework. So I don't think it's just catch shares. And I think a lot of the issues that were identified over time by the advisory panel time and time again as they met were issues that actually a catch share allocation system would go a long way to addressing. So I don't support splitting catch shares from the amendment. I don't want to lose the work that we've done to developing those alternatives. I think we just need to park that until it's ripe. I like Terry, having sat in a number of those meetings, it is not just catch shares that they're opposed to. It is all sorts of things. And we just weren't able to make progress on a whole host of issues in Amendment 6, and I think it's not ready. And with regards to skates, we don't need to identify catch species to species. We don't need to allocate to have a limited access fishery in skates. It's currently open access. It is a directed fishery. Actually, Massachusetts is I think the top landing state for directed wing fishery, and it's a critically important, particularly now, critically important economic driver of commercial fisheries in Massachusetts. It's at risk because of its open access nature, and we have to address that. We have prioritized it last year, and I think we should work on it this year if we have an opportunity. According to what Tom said, if we make this change, we have an opportunity to work on something productive, proactive, in 2014, and I think we should. So I oppose the motion to amend and support the original part of this motion. Thank you.
Other comments on the motion to amend the split motion? Tom? No? Okay. Tom?
Wasn't sure who was going next.
I wasn't sure.
Just to be clear, or to clear up a comment I made earlier when I said yes, I want to make it clear that hopefully people realize that should the council decide to pursue limited entry on skates, it's probably going to take more than a one-year effort to get it done, just to be clear on that. And the other is I would just point out that when I made my previous comment that said, yes, we had the ability to do it, Monkfish was off the table. We were dropping Monkfish Amendment 6 and pursuing limited entry for skates. This motion suggests continuing to work on Monkfish Amendment 6 and pushing it forward. So my cautious yes does not necessarily apply to this motion until I see what else comes off the table.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Matt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad Tom clarified that. One of the things that I'm concerned about in terms of linking this to priorities in the groundfish is last year we had to sink a lot of time into the groundfish, paying attention to groundfish issues. It was the time that we needed to sink into it. It was the right thing to do at the time. But there's a whole backlog of issues in other FMPs that we haven't had time to get to. And I'm a little concerned about trying to push too much into the ground, borrowing too much staff resources from other FMPs to attend to issues that in the groundfish plan that may not be as burningly urgent as issues outside the groundfish plan. And I'm not saying that those issues we've identified are not important, but I'm glad Tom clarified that there is some, you know, we're playing a shell game here. It's a zero-sum game.
Are there any other comments on the motion to amend the split motion? Seeing none, those who support the motion to amend, please indicate so. And those opposed? And those abstaining? Okay, the motion carries 7-1. We're back to the split motion as amended. David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Mike said a little while ago about being proactive. And right now, we're seeing a skate fishery which is in decline. And the fishermen have said that. They've all insisted upon it. I get phone calls on it. And I think we do need to move to stem this emerging problem. The priority should address critical issues. And it was my sense that monkfish catch shares is not a critical issue at this time, but skate is becoming so. And when I get calls from industry on issues, before a meeting, if I get two or three calls, I know it's important. I've gotten more than a dozen calls on this skate issue. The fishermen are seeing a problem, and they're seeing an emerging problem, not emerging, an exploding problem, actually. Skate could well become a choke species in three different fisheries, the scallop, groundfish, and monkfish fisheries. We've also got the potential for redirected effort into the skate fishery, and we need to stem that at this time, proactively. So I see this issue. I know it's going to take more than 1 year, but I don't think we should just wait until it becomes another choke species issue. I think we need to deal with this now, and that's why I made and support this motion.
So, Karen, can you move over back up to the first component? Because I think that motion's been amended, but it hasn't been approved. Mary Beth.
Well, I haven't supported the motion, but I think the motion, as it currently reads, has some problems in that we have moved something above the line and nothing below the line. We've taken a portion of an ongoing action and moved it below the line, but not the action. So, I guess, back to Tom. How are we going to deal with that?
I don't know. You know, I mean, there's been some talk in earlier discussion about other things perhaps being taken and moved below the line, which they're not on the table yet, so I don't know how that's going to work. This particular split motion increases workload. So
just to follow up, I mean, if this motion were to pass, somebody needs to put something on the table and put it below the line, and having that discussion after the fact is a difficult way to make a decision. Normally one is going to, you know, want to know what their trade-off is up front before they support moving in this direction. And until we were to figure out what that is, then I couldn't support the motion.
And it's also going to impact what else we can add at the end. There's been a list of other issues that are both highlighted in Tom's PowerPoint and brought before the council today. Tom?
Yeah, I think we basically always have this conversation under priorities. And we start out with the premise that we're going to have sort of a one-for-one replacement, and then it changes, and we're stuck trying to have all our conversations at once with a part of it in a motion on the board. You know, I support and continue to support prioritizing skate limited access. I'll vote for that. The conversations about what will have to go below the line, we tried to do it once with a one for one, and we're where we are now. And so I think we should vote this through and then try to figure out where there's room for push and pull after this.
PK.
Yes, I can't support this motion. Mary Beth hit it right on the head. I mean, we took something, and even though it's stripped down, we kept that in, and then we added a huge thing with the skate limited entry. And I do support that, but I support other things in the priority list that, as Tom just mentioned, you know, and Terry just mentioned, if we vote this through, we're going to have to go through and strip some other things off that we might want in groundfish or something like that. So I can't support this motion.
Terry.
So could we, in order to address everybody's angst about voting for this, and then, because it probably is not going to pass if we don't know what we're going to be voting on in the future. So could we table this, debate the next one, then come back and vote on this, then come back? Just so we'll have some idea what we're voting on here in the future.
So are you making a motion to table, Terry? And to what point? Because we're going to go and discuss the second component. Then there's a whole long laundry list of other issues.
I'd like to hear what everybody else thought, too.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. These priority discussions always get wrapped around the axle. That's a given. I see no chance for us to have any kind of a priorities discussion that doesn't get wrapped around the axle. I'm 8 years into the council now, and I've never seen it any other way. But I do know that that linking them is difficult. Because what one person, I mean, I think there's a majority of people here that want to see skate rise to above the line, but I don't see any kind of consilience within the council about what should go below the line. I think, in fact, point of fact, those are actually, they become at some point two separate discussions. So I don't know how we get around this problem. I appreciate exactly what Terry is saying. I don't know how to get around it except that the discussion's just becoming just way too complicated when we try to link them together. But whatever the council wants to do.
Tom.
Well, Tom attempted, I think, to put forward a motion that tried to have a balance, you know, that added something and took something off. And we saw this, as Dave says, what typically happens is people start splitting, and so the one-for-one approach doesn't seem to work very well. So, perhaps an approach that might work is to get everything on the table that people want to add, and then get everything on the table that people think they want to take away. And rather than do a one-for-one, then, you know, you'll have them all in front of you and say, okay, this is what we want to add, this is what we want to take away.
I'm not sure that's going to make the discussion any easier, because then you're going to wind up with a debate. As you know, if we look at that list and I say, well, they're not even, then everybody's going to start having a debate. But you know, maybe that'll move forward the discussion, because there won't be this unknown about what items might be coming off.
Mike.
Well, I actually see it as two different options. One is the one that Tom just raised, and that is to structure it so we know what the lists of pluses and minuses are and see how they balance. I think ideally that would be a useful process, but I can't see it possibly occurring in 2 hours. It involves a bunch of iterations of breaking for committee groups to do things and so on. The other is to simply recognize that what we're doing is developing a prioritization that to some degree is aspirational. It's not going to be set in concrete, and in fact none of us really know where the line is. Drawing a line is about as rigorous as believing that stock assessments are exact. This is a process, and it is aspirational, and I think we should do our best to identify things that are lower priority than those things we are advocating is higher priority. But in the end of the day, I don't think we can be too exact about it in terms of the process. Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, I kind of started what I've been thinking here. We create an annual wish list, and generally by our January meeting, we're amending it. This year, we have staff problems. We may have resource problems with funding. Who knows what emergencies we're going to have to deal with this year. Perhaps next year, the executive committee could follow the approach that Tom laid out in some sort of decision document that we could digest. But I don't think 2 hours to do it, Mike. I think we'd need the rest of the day. So my suggestion is we either vote this up or down. We go and we continue through, and at the end here, we're going to have to take a look and seriously consider what, if we add too many more issues into our priorities now, on the other end, we're going to have to be very judicious about what we consider adding under the others. So if folks agree with this approach, we can move ahead. If someone has a better idea, I'm certainly open to it. Okay. No one's thrown anything at me. So is there any further discussion on the motion on the board to amend the first split? What's that meant? We've had the motion amended, so we have to approve the motion as amended. Okay. Okay. On the motion to approve the split as amended, please indicate so if you support it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And those abstaining. And the motion fails for a lack of a majority, 8-8-1. So we're back to the original.
Right, on the second part of the split.
Yeah. Correct. So the first split stays intact. We're on the second part of the split.
No. First.
So is everyone clear that the first split, we're on the second split right now? So council discussion? Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The failure of that first motion, I think, puts this one in play. What we're saying here is that the council is up in the prioritized development arena. If we were concerned about adding work with the first half of the split, we're certainly adding more work now with this one, and that troubles me greatly.
PK.
I agree with Matt. That's why I'd like to go back to the original executive committee decisions that we made for priorities. I agree with Matt on this one. This adds more work, too.
David, Tom, Terry.
Yeah, I would move to delete the language after and to prioritize the development, et cetera. So it would just be the council adopt the 2014 priorities as recommended by the executive committee. My motion to amend.
Seconded by PK. Okay, we've gone round and round. Council discussion. Tom.
Yeah, I think there are two issues that we've heard and we've discussed that have support, right? We voted to consider prioritizing creating these sub-ACLs in non-groundfish fisheries as a council, as a groundfish committee several times. I think we need to discuss that as on its own and on its own merits. We've passed that several times now, and I think it's a critical part of moving forward in our groundfish management. The second thing that we've heard a tremendous amount of support for is the consideration of skate limited entry. So I guess this is a motion to amend, correct? The second part of the split. If this passes, then I think we should consider adding one or both of those actions. Because we have discussed them at length, and there's a tremendous push to do that. So I'd like to hear what other people's thoughts on this are. If we vote this up, we basically have a clean slate again, and we can consider what else needs to be done.
This moves us back to John's original motion, which is to adopt the executive committee's recommendations. Tom.
With that said, wouldn't voting down the second part of the split motion have effectively done the same thing? So whether this is voted up or down, we get to the same spot.
That is correct. So perfectly clear, right?
So maybe to make it simpler, it would be we could withdraw the motion, and then we'd have the clean main motion just so everyone's clear on how to get back to square one. I do think we need to talk about prioritizing the development of this action as we voted for it. If people aren't comfortable with what would have to come off the list, we can have that discussion. But, in fact, this second part of the split motion doesn't identify that. That was outlined in what I said around that motion. So it's just getting a little bit confusing as to how we move forward.
David.
I don't think it's confusing. I think we just came back to, with this motion to amend, I am undoing what Tom attempted to do, but was unsuccessful doing for the past hour of discussion. So it brings us back to the executive committee motion and all of the annual and multi-year recommended priorities from the executive committee. It will not include, if this passes, the regulatory action to review the groundfish catch in the non-groundfish directed fisheries and establishing ACLs and AMs as appropriate. That would be removed. And I'll just say, as I've said before, that I think it's too complicated a task. I understand the desire for it. But frankly, as I stated at the groundfish committee meeting when last we met, developing AMs in particular for all of these non-groundfish directed fisheries would provide nothing but a spider web and a maze of closed areas and gear regulations, and that's where I definitely do not want to go.
Laura.
I was just going to say that Tom Neese's approach of at least having up there what may be coming in terms of motions would be helpful, because you do feel like you're voting on things sort of not knowing what you're foregoing. So I don't know if there's a way, if you know already, Terry, what motions are up there to say, listen, here's the executive committee, but we're likely to also hear requests for the following five things, then or ten things. Then we at least know what we're thinking about.
OK. Okay. Tom Neese's earlier presentation laid out the executive committee's recommendations. We've heard from Jeff, and we've heard from Ellen about at least two additional, and from Tom, three additional actions that they would like to have added to our priorities. I don't know what else is going to come off the table here. David.
Yeah, as a point of clarification, the way I'm reading this, and I could be wrong here, the amendment that we're voting on now is that the council adopt the 2014 priorities as recommended by the executive committee. If we pass that, then we've adopted it, and there will be no further additions. Is that, am I correct, or am I misreading something here?
This is a motion to amend. It would then be the main motion that has not yet been voted on. Tom.
I just want to take another crack at the second part of this split motion. While problematic, accountability measures for other fisheries, they're necessary, right? Because until we put those sub-ACLs on other fisheries with associated accountability measures that people who participate in those fisheries can live with and can operate under, there's only one group that's on the hook for every groundfish stock, and that's the directed groundfish fishery. And whether it's windowpane this year or yellowtail flounder or dabs or who knows what next, unless we work on this, there's only going to be one person holding the bag at the end of it, and that's the directed groundfish fishery. So, yes, closure areas, accountability measures for other fisheries, those are hard. Those decisions are going to ultimately come down to trade-offs, and they're going to be contentious. But avoiding that conversation is avoiding the accountability necessary for those fleets. We can't have it. We're just going to come back to the same spot where we have dropping ACLs in the directed groundfish fishery and a lack of accountability for bycatch in all our other fisheries. We have to start moving towards accountability in those fisheries. I oppose the motion. I support the underlying motion to get that work started.
John.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to remember the various motions to amend, and I know we started with John Quinn's motion to adopt the priorities, which was seconded. And I'm trying to think if there's been a successful motion to amend that, because if there hasn't been a successful motion to amend that, then that's still the motion. And this motion here to amend that and replace it with the priorities is an irrelevant motion because it's not necessary, right? So it really should be withdrawn because it's replacing it with the same thing. So I wouldn't object to anyone trying to amend the priorities with something else, but it's a waste of time to replace the main motion, which is the executive committee priorities, with the executive committee priorities. So I just think this one should be withdrawn, and if someone wants to make a change to the executive committee priorities, then they should do that.
My read, John, is that this was to deal with the second part of the split motion, which included the groundfish actions. So that if Dr. Pierce, well, it deleted the language. Dr. Pierce's motion deleted the language that was specific to the groundfish and brought it back specific to the executive committee's original recommendation. And Tom, help me out.
So I think where we got a little bit confused here is that, and Karen will chime in here if I get this wrong, John Quinn made a motion, and then Tom Dempsey made a motion to amend. And the motion to amend got split. So really what we have here is, you know, we're all thinking as if the split motion is the main motion. It's not. The split motion is a split motion to amend. And so if that were to fail, we default back to John Quinn's main motion, which is adopt the executive committee priorities, which is why John is arguing that Dave Pierce's motion really isn't necessary. You just need to vote up or down the split motion to amend. And to make it a little more clear, maybe, Karen, if you scroll down to what where we're at now, we can clean this up later, but just to make it a little more clear, say second part of the split motion to amend. I think that's where we really are. So if this is voted down, David, then you don't need your motion to amend, the split motion to amend.
So we're in the top part. Okay. Yeah, let me just read that. That's exactly the way to do it. I think Dr. Pierce, in his shrewd attempt to be redundant, it's easier to go whatever you. I think we're better off voting up or down the second part of the split motion, and it does the same thing without confusing everybody's thought process.
It's too late for that. So on the second part of the split motion to amend, Mary Beth.
So I'm almost tempted to make it more complicated and offer an amendment, but I don't know if I'll do that. But one thought process, you know, as far as discussing this, is that it's difficult to know how large an action it would be. It could be quite complicated establishing ACLs and AMs as appropriate in a whole bunch of fisheries for, you know, that you can't, you just don't know what they are. So I'm wondering if this motion were to read to analyze a review of ground fish catch non-ground fish directed fisheries versus committing to a regulatory action that it's difficult to know the scope of it. And then the other one question I would have is that I understand we have staff issues trying to deal with all these priorities in the coming year. And I'm wondering, Tom, if you have a plan for increasing staff in 2014 and how much help we might be able to get with some of this.
So I'm going to answer two questions, though I think you only asked one, really. The first is that the Groundfish PDT routinely at the end of a year gets a table from the agency which explains where they think groundfish has been caught. And so that is sort of the basis for, that has been in the past, the basis for some adjustments we've made to sub-ACLs over time. So that's something that, you know, looking at that table and identifying at least from that table where we think the issues are is something that's done kind of automatically. This year, they ran into a problem with a federal shutdown. They didn't get that table until just before the November council meeting. Typically, the PDT would get that probably in August, September, and they'd start talking with the committee about it. The difficulty comes in a couple areas. One is that trying to determine what is the appropriate level for an ACL can be contentious, and then the second is trying to devise the AMs can be contentious, and that's where the time comes in. There's a third piece that may or may not prove to be an issue. The PDT has always wanted to look at a little bit more closely how some of those estimates are developed for some of these fisheries, because as somebody mentioned earlier, it can be very hard trying to figure out how to assign the catch to a particular fishery when a vessel may participate in more than one fishery on a given trip. So those issues are the ones that take time. The ACLs and the AMs and the amount of the ACL is the one that takes time. With respect to staff, we're in a little bit of a bind as to trying to figure out what we're going to do with staff because we're unclear on what our budget is going to be in 2014, and we're unclear, even more unclear, about what our budget's going to be in 2015. We do have some plans to augment staff with some contractor support to get a couple things done in the short term. That's not necessarily a long-term hiring answer, though.
Okay. David, have you withdrawn this motion to amend?
Well, it's hard to keep track of where we've been because it's just a screen that keeps moving. But I will be guided by the executive committee and the executive director and his wisdom. Without objection, certainly my motion to amend can be withdrawn.
PK?
Yeah, and I don't... I think that's the way to go, to withdraw it. But... So going back to Tom's split motion here, the second half of the split motion, the problem I have with it is that when you want to add the new AMs, I agree with that, but then something else has to come off because that's going to be time-consuming. And the part that was going to come off, you mentioned three things of trading to Canada and ace trading amongst scallop and ground fish, and I agree with those. The problem I have is if you were to develop the development of new strategies, that's where I have a problem with it. So I'd rather see that as opposed to this, to stay above the line.
Okay, Mike, you've had your hand up.
Yes, I think that it is less complicated without the I think it is best that David had withdrawn his amendment. I was thinking along the lines of things that other people suggested, in that perhaps it would be appropriate to soften this so that it's more realistic in what's expected in the early phase, the next year or two or even several years, if that becomes the case. And with that in mind, could I offer an amendment that would change the wording to initiate an action? It's harder for me to get my amendment since pieces keep disappearing.
Are you amending or substituting?
I'm offering an amendment to the amendment that's already on the board. Okay.
Okay. We have a split motion on the board, so you're going to amend that.
Yes. Okay. So let me begin again. To initiate an action to address groundfish catches and non-groundfish directed fisheries. Full stop, period. So, well, I guess we need to see if anybody seconds that amendment.
Matt, you seconding it?
As Dr. Sissonwise put that forward, we've dropped entirely the issue of the priorities on it. So I would suggest perhaps we wordsmith it to keep the priorities discussion in it for its relevance.
Let's take 5 minutes here and get our heads wrapped around things.
Okay. I got to pee.
back to the executive committees as a... Ms. Haynes, please. Council members. Okay, the break was helpful. We've done some wordsmithing to Mike's motion. And what I suggest is that we either vote it up or down. If we vote it up, it will be included as an amendment to the main motion, which John made earlier today. Then we take lunch and decide over lunch what we want to add or subtract from the priorities and move along. So, Mike?
Yes, I guess first somebody needs to second it. And
well, you've amended it, so you want to read it into the record?
Oh, okay. So amend that the council adopt the 2014 priorities as recommended by the executive committee and to initiate a process to address groundfish catch in non-groundfish fisheries.
Seconded by Matt.
Okay.
Is discussion by the council? Mike?
Just to be very quick on it, I heard the sense of why this was the initial amendment came forward and agree with the sense of it. I also agree with various people's comments about the need to be realistic about what can be achieved. So the intent here is, again, to be more modest in what's expected to come out of it, but not to lose the importance of addressing this issue altogether. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, would this motion provide the Mid-Atlantic Council with an opportunity to work with this council to substitute perhaps the existing process of setting sub-ACLs in the fluke fishery, which is the other one of the other subcomponent fisheries, I don't think so that we can move ahead and see how we can take the authority for setting the sub-ACLs in the fluke fishery away from the New England Council and create a process within the Mid-Atlantic Council where we would do that within our own fluke plan. It seems to me this motion, if it's successful, would give us at least a process where we could work with you to kind of disentangle the situation that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, my sense is that this addresses the issue you raised earlier at the beginning of the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other council discussion? Seeing none, on the motion to amend, please raise your hand if you support the motion. Motion carries 700. All right. Back, this is now the
you lost the screen for a minute. You may want to add.
Okay. Process-wise, I think we're on an amended motion, an amendment as amended, and that brings us back to where we started off about 10 o'clock. So we need to vote on this one more time. Those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. Same thing you just voted on before. You voting? Motion carries 17-0-0. Could I have an indication from folks how many people are going to want to make motions to the priorities afterwards? Terry, Ellen, and Tom. Okay, let's take an hour for lunch and come back, and we'll start with you three.